Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Matthew 26 and verse 75, we read the words, "And he went out and wept bitterly." Now here we obviously have a scene of a man that's in deep agony. He's heartbroken. He's in the depths of indescribable grief. This word that's translated bitterly, it really means a grief that's so intense that it actually inflicts literal physical pain. It is a state of almost uncontrollable emotional and spiritual distress. And the man in such a state as this? Why, it was the Apostle Peter. Now, the Bible student is familiar with this passage and familiar with most of the circumstances surrounding it. But in our lesson for today and tomorrow, we want to ask, why was Peter in this state of suffering? What had brought it about? We read in Matthew, the 26th chapter, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he again denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came he unto them that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then we read this phrase, And he went out and wept bitterly. Luke records an additional and significant point in this story. The Bible says in Luke 22, And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now just before Peter went out and wept bitterly, Peter had been the object of a look from Christ. And what was it about this look that moved Peter so? Had not the Lord looked upon Peter before, or certainly he had? But with this look, it recalled to Peter's mind the words of Jesus, how that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crew. And sure enough, following his third denial of Jesus, the cock did crow, and the look from Jesus pierced him to the heart with a conviction of his transgression, and he was so broken-hearted, and he was so ashamed. Friend, let us briefly consider the circumstances that led to Peter's denial of Christ. You see, Christ and the apostles, they had observed the last Passover supper together. And at this gathering, the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper that was to be observed when his kingdom was established, which is the church. And it is in the church that we observe the Lord's Supper. And when they had sung a hymn together, with a sweet fellowship and companionship, it was likened unto the 3.5 years that they had had together. And once they were out at the garden in the Mount of Olives, Jesus remarked, All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Matthew 26, verse 31. Now what Matthew is recording here, or Jesus quoting here, was from the prophecy of Zechariah. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, without doubt, These words were shocking to the apostles. The implication of them was so stunning and was so obvious. The Lord would be smitten. And that was bad enough in itself. They didn't want to accept that. But that they would be ashamed of him, offended at him, that they would forsake him, why, such a thought must have been intolerable for them to even seriously consider at this time. And it was Peter who responded, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all of the disciples. You know, we sometimes are very critical of the Apostle Peter, of course, because of his denial of Christ. But he had said that he would die before he would do that. But he wasn't the only one that had made that kind of statement. All of the apostles had so emphatically said that they would remain loyal to him. It wasn't the Apostle Peter only, but we're focusing on the Apostle Peter. And then after a time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and after the prayer of Jesus that's recorded in John the 17th chapter, where he prayed for himself, he prayed for the apostles, he prayed for those who would believe because of the witnesses of the apostles, those who sought Jesus, his enemies, led by Judas, came to take him away. And then a very significant event took place. The Bible says here in Matthew 26, "Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." John 18 tells us the servant's name was Malthus, and it also tells us who was the man with the sword. It was the Apostle Peter. Some have said that Peter was actually swinging for his head and missed and only clipped off his ear. Of course, that's just so much speculation, though it's not altogether unreasonable in its thought. Now, there are two reasons why this event of the Apostle Peter taking his sword against this mob was very significant. One, it proves the good intentions of Peter that were behind his earlier words of loyalty at all cost. He said, though he die, he would not deny his Lord. He would fight before he would allow the enemies of Jesus to take him away. And then it also proves the sincerity of the Apostle Peter. Yes, he had a great deal of zeal, but he was not properly guided. But his sincerity, friend, it cannot be doubted. It's unmistakable. And then Jesus was led away to a series of six trials, three before the Jews and three before the Romans. And in these trials, as Isaiah had foretold, his judgment was taken away. There was a desecration of justice. Jesus did not receive fairness in any of these episodes. Illegalities, false witnesses, misconceptions of all kinds of his words and of his ministry. Oh, how our Lord suffered through these six trials. And then later, Peter was identified as one of those who followed Christ, as we have read. He followed Christ, but followed him afar off. That is, he was not close enough to be identified with Christ, but not near enough to do Jesus or himself any benefit. And under these circumstances, he denied him. Now keep in mind, Peter had been with Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter had been with Christ at the raising of the daughter of Jairus from the dead. Peter had been with Christ in walking on the water. Peter was the man that had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said, "I'll die before I'll deny you." Now, why did Peter do such a turnaround? Why did he go against his own strong expressions of loyalty? Why did he deny what he knew to be true? Why did he try to emphasize his denial, even with cursing and swearing? Why did he go against his own intentions that was so sincerely expressed? Well, as we seek the answer to these questions, let us be aware in our study we're not seeking merely to uncover the faults of the Apostle Peter. We'll see those, but we want to discover why people even yet are offended in Christ. And they deny Christ. They say in word and in deed, "I know not the man." But the trouble with all of this with Peter probably began with Peter himself. May I suggest that Peter at this time was proud, sinfully proud? He had said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Is it not possible that Peter was just too sure of himself? Now, he was not possibly intentionally that way, but he had been blinded by the power of temptation. He minimized it in this event. It was the Apostle Peter, by the way, that later warned, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. You know, when he wrote that, he knew whereof he spoke, as well as writing by inspiration. Peter demonstrated the appropriateness of the warning that the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh take heed, lest he fall." Friend, there are false teachers out in the world that say the Christian can't fall. I want to ask you, why is it that in every single New Testament book there are repeated warnings against falling away? Now, these men wrote as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit have the inspired men warn those who read about falling away if they could not fall away? Indeed, men sometimes hold to their denominational dogmas in contradiction of the Word of God. Peter is an example of those who not only could fall away, but did fall away. Now, we sometimes might think others might become disloyal. We know people who have become disloyal. And we might say to ourselves, "Well, I'll never be like them. I'll never deny the Lord. I'll be faithful regardless of what the cost might be to ourselves. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The Apostle Peter was just, at this point, too sure of himself. Now, there are other reasons as to why these things took place, and we're going to explore those in our next lessons. We hope that you will be listening. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.